Your damn Skippy starts now. Happy Tuesday to you. You are indeed in the loop. Yes. I'm Reginald Atatula. That is Chris Partee in for the OG John Lopez. Yep. You hear the vibes. Of course, that means that Figgy Fig, the producer extraordinaire, always in with us. How you feeling, Chris? Like, we are into the... You also want to stretch
along? Getting stressed out. Yeah, we're going to get stressed out in here.
We are into NBA free agency, and the Rockets started with the bang themselves.
We in the thick of it, it seems like, already. Like, even though nothing is official yet, we know that, was it Dorian Finney-Smith?
That is correct.
Is coming to town, and also Clint Capela coming back.
Yes.
To the H.
Yes. So if you have anything to say on that or anything that we talk about today, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Again, 713-572-4610, but also appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers. For the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch, 610 Houston. We talked a little bit about the Dorian Finney-Smith. I don't know that I knew that the deal would end up looking like that. 4 years, $55 million. I think obviously it'll be situated in such a way where the first year fits into that non-taxpayer mid-level exception that the Rockets had available to them.
Yeah.
So that $14 million-ish,
yeah.
$14.1 million if we want to be nerds and exact in that way. But he ends up here, a nice wing defender, 3 and D, probably I might say D and 3, because he's more of a defensive player, although he's been really good, had a career year knocking down 3-pointers last year.
That's exactly what we talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Exactly what and it's funny that literally hours after we get off the air, it was official, pretty much. You know what I mean? So someone did some forecasting there, right? Got that. I mean, the talks had already been out there that he was a target for the Rockets, but to see them go ahead and get it done, I mean, the Rockets are going after it, dog. They are really going after it. It seems like they're really looking to build a championship team.
Yes.
Right now. Like, that's what they're going for.
And that's funny because the Dorian Finney-Smith, like, I thought that was just necessary. We talked about it. You need more shooting on this team.
Yeah.
I'll be interested, though. I will say this, and this is a little bit of the hater in me coming out. I understand.
Here we go. Here we go. Why are you hating?
Because I heard Sean and Seth making this mention earlier that he had a career year shooting threes last year. Uh-huh. But I was like, I do think that it is worth noting that his creation with any three-point shooter, especially a spot-up shooter, because he didn't create any of that himself, really. Three-point shooting is also going to be dependent on setup. Like, one of my favorite players of all time is Jason Williams.
Okay.
White Chocolate himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And one of the things that he does, like, you see him a lot on, like, TikTok or Instagram Reels or what have you, talking about how he would set up the shot to get the laces perfectly right for his shooters. Like, not only is he getting the ball to his guys in the right pocket so it's not low, they're not having to catch it high, they can get right into their motion, but he's also setting up the shot perfectly. And I think when you look at the Lakers team last year, you have LeBron as a passer. You have Luka Doncic as a passer. Both of those guys are really great at setting guys up for shots. I'm interested to see how that shooting, like that setup for shooting, happens with this Rockets team, as your primary point guards will be, or your primary, setters up of
set
the
up
game,
guys,
right?
Yeah.
Will be Fred VanVleet, who's a good point guard, but I don't know that he's like the elite passing point guard, which, again, I'm not using that to denigrate him at all.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant will have the ball in his hands a decent amount, but I never viewed him necessarily as that elite level of passer, even though he can very much get the ball there. And then Reed Sheppard, I think, is going to get a lot of offensive burn as a passer, and we're still seeing him develop as a point guard. I'll be interested to see how well he shoots, but I do think, regardless, it'll be good shooting. I just wonder, between shooting 37% and shooting 41%, there might be a little distinction there, which might be a distinction without a difference, but I think it might be interesting to watch.
And I think the other thing that'll be interesting is that, you say Reed Sheppard will probably get more run at a point guard, a backup point guard. How good of a setup guy is he going to be?
Well, I mean, he's
coming off the bench. Like, we don't know that right now. We don't really have a great idea of that.
And, I mean, he impressed me starting with Summer League last year. And I'm actually very intrigued to see if he'll play Summer League again this year. I imagine that he would.
I would think so, right?
In year two,
you
especially.
You want to get
him
all the reps as possible, right?
Right, who didn't get a lot of minutes last year with the pro club or what have you, or the big league club is the way I should kind of put that. But, I mean, he is a good passer of the basketball, but that different level that really gets that helps a shooter go from, add a few extra points.
Yeah.
On their three-point shooting or on their shooting, right? I do wonder if he has that within him. But we'll see, ultimately, what that looks like when that gets there. That's neither here nor there. Like I said, a little hate break for me. I apologize.
A little hate break.
But I still love the signing. I'll be honest, though. When I saw that Clint Capela, the Swiss man himself.
Yeah, what were your thoughts
Swiss bank. My immediate thought was, wait, what? Because you
So you didn't see it coming.
No, I didn't. Like, you have Alperen Şengün, who will be your starting center. You have Steven Adams as your backup center, who you will also utilize a good amount. And I was like, so why are you bringing in a guy who is a rotation caliber center as well to put in this, as you already have a lot of size? Not only do you have, we mentioned, those guys, Şengün and Steven Adams, but then you also have Jabari Smith, who can kind of play small ball center at times. Yeah. You have Kevin Durant, who I guess in a pinch, if you need to play really small, you can have him slide there, although I don't know how much you'd want to do that. But then you're going to add another center on top of that. And speaking of, Clint Capela is a 31-year-old. Like, he's not the same Clint Capela that you had previously because he was a rim-running guy, right? Obviously, he's a rebounding guy. That still exists. But I was like, as a rim-running guy, he's not as much of a rim runner. And I don't, again, going back to your ball handlers, your setup guys, your playmakers, I don't know that you have as many guys that are, like, incredible pick-and-roll guys that also lean heavily on that lob or that could make super use of, like, that rim running. However, ultimately, I think that this, and I saw people talking about it, I got more comfortable with the idea of this is a level of insurance for Steven Adams. Because Steven Adams, they had to manage him last year. He was very good in getting offensive rebounds, but they had to manage him as well because he didn't play back-to-backs during a majority of last year. And you're going to have back-to-backs this in the season.
And that was going to be one point I was going to bring up, I think, is options. You want more options. You need more options. And when you talk about managing Steven Adams in the games he plays, when he plays, the spots you put him in his minutes, that's where Clint Capela can come into play right there. I think it's a great pickup, honestly.
And on top of that, maybe this is one of the takeaways I've seen people have, and I can very much get down with this thought process, is that the Rockets, as you talked about kind of wanting to be a championship team, this feels like a confirmation of that in a way. Like, as a championship team, you need to have contingencies. You need to make sure that there's no holes in what you're doing as much as you possibly can.
As few holes as possible.
Right. And this feels like we are going to be good at center. We're going to have some variety at center that we can mix and match if we need to. And Clint Capela still fits the larger ethos that they had last year that they're not going to step away from, which is we are going to get offensive rebounds. Like, whatever we try to do, making this offense better.
Yeah.
I think that this is an acknowledgement to some degree that you're not going to be able to entirely overhaul the offense to where now you're a top five offense per se. Like, you weren't necessarily that. So it's probably an unreasonable expectation for them to go and entirely change from there. So you're still going to need to be able to get offensive rebounds. You're still going to need to be able to get those easy putbacks. And Clint Capela averaged 8 points and 8 rebounds last year. So, like, getting a guy who also adds those rebounds, like, continues to do that and gives you another level of that. Like, this isn't, you're not going to have a drop-off if Steven Adams can't go to Jock Landale. You're going to have another rotation-level guy, with all due respect to Jock Landale, because I think he did his job admirably for what you asked of him. I think that you're going to be asking a little bit more of the center, and they're leaning further into being a big basketball player.
They're definitely on the big side as far as teams go in the NBA nowadays, but also with Clint Capela, you bring in a guy that has more experience than a Jock Landale, right? So you bring in Clint Capela, or you bring him back. It's been, 6 years now since he's been in Houston, I believe? Or
it does feel like.
It feels like a long time.
About 5 or 6 years.
5 or 6. I mean, it feels like it's been a while that he's been gone, but you bring him back. And Reggie, like you said, he's not the exact same player like he was in his early 20s as that rim runner. But you bring him in, you stay with the ethos of being able to rebound. Weren't they number one in the league in rebounding last year? You don't want to drop. You don't want to have any drop-offs from that. You want to continue to build on that. And like you said, probably not going to end up, you know, just suddenly a top three, top five team offensively. But Kevin Durant, just his presence is going to help that. But it can't just be all of that, right?
You can't depend
just on that, is what
agreed,
I should say.
Agreed. I'm still very much trying to see what the offense looks like just as a concept in the way that they run it. But I love what they're doing here, and the biggest thing that maybe about the Clint Capela thing is not just that they got Clint Capela. I think that that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
This is per Jake Fisher, who I think writes for the Stein Line currently, a good basketball insider. Quote, Clint Capela is going to return to Houston by way of sign and trade. So, like, they obviously could have actually straight up signed him. They're going to sign and trade, and what they are sending, a 2031 second-round pick swap. Not a pick, just a pick swap.
Yeah.
So you're not losing a second.
No.
And a little bit of cash to the Hawks for facilitating this deal. And what's the additional context with this is you have, obviously, the Rockets get Clint Capela. There was another center that Brook Lopez ends up going to the Clippers.
Yeah.
There are centers that get signed, and there are teams like the Los Angeles Lakers that desperately need centers, and you're able to get Clint Capela to Houston for not only will I just, it's not just I'll give you a second, we can swap seconds.
Exactly.
And I'll throw a little bit of cash on top of it in order to help you facilitate me getting. I was like, Raphael Stone is in his bag, right? Like this
he really is.
This is a confirmation of the ways in which he is operating. Like, not only does he want to win a championship, that's important, obviously. He want to go get executive of the year.
I was just thinking right that. That's what this seems like. Now, I'm not saying he's intentionally going for that award, but the moves he's making, he's going for that award next season. This time next year, we might be calling him the executive of the year.
And deservedly so. Like, they've done a great job adding talent and building up what this team has, but it's not just having the talent. You have to make the shrewd moves in order to put things together. And yeah. I think largely he's doing that. I will echo one of my kind of concerns, I guess is the word that I'll use without having a better one to utilize in this moment. I still look at this guard room and I go,
yeah. You can improve it a little bit more. You can improve it.
Now, one of the things that will make it a little more interesting to me is, does this, especially the way that this thing is going, because I think Yossi Goslin, who covers the league, especially from a cap perspective, which is very appreciated, said that, Jackson Gatlin, I'll start here, from Locked On Rockets, shout out to him and his work, said the Rockets keeping Cam Whitmore in addition to their signings is a possibility per source. So the idea of Whitmore staying still exists, because we were talking about Kelly Eco had reported the idea that he might be in, kind of conversations. Yeah. It's fluid. This leans a little bit closer to the idea that he might stay. The only question I have is, does he stay and then also earn the trust and respect of Ime to play? Because
that's
again,
the big part.
If we're talking about guards, you got Fred, you got Reed.
Aaron Holiday.
Aaron Holiday, that's fair, who may or may not actually be in the continuous rotation.
Yeah.
Tari Eason, who is more of a wing, but is kind of going to be slid to a guard. Yeah. Amen Thompson, who's more of a wing, that's kind of going
to
be slid to a guard.
Looks like he's going to slide to the two.
And, like, you don't have that many guards in
like
there.
Like, true guards.
Yeah.
You don't have that many right
and
now.
And it's not just about guards for guards' sake, but we're talking about, like, the defensive acumen of having the ability to have a little bit of lateral movement, and then also the ability to have guys that can penetrate to the paint, which I think is going to be necessary. I'm still intrigued on that portion of it. Is that a level of vulnerability that they have, or is that something where they're going to trend big and they're going to lean into that, and you're going to have some level of some places that are quote-unquote weaknesses?
I mean, with that being said, Raphael Stone, he's probably not done, right? I mean, free agency is just getting started. Like, there are other moves out there that can be made, and I don't think he's done yet. I think they may go get another guard to bring in, not a big name, obviously, but someone that can come in that second unit for the rotation.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to be able to make that particularly happen, because they're at 14 players right now. You can have 15, but the way that the salary cap would be set up with this, it feels like they are pretty well situated just kind of going into the season with these 14
players. Think so?
If you're looking at the way the salary cap sets up, without them, going into a different level of tax and what have you, it feels like this might be where they are. But if this is where they are, they do have a lot of weapons in order to make some things shake. There is still the question of where does the scoring come from if Durant is out. Like, there's still questions on how that particularly goes. But it feels like you've given yourself some answers to have some shooting, have some, obviously have your ability to continue to defend, and then also
and rebound,
still,
you still can do that too, yeah.
Right, and have your double big opportunity. Someone threw out the idea of a triple big. You want Alperen Şengün playing the four?
A triple
or not,
big?
Sorry, not the four, the three.
So
unless you're considering
Capella at the five?
Unless we're considering Jabari Smith Jr. as the three.
Okay,
which
maybe.
You can do.
Yeah, you can put him there.
But I don't know that
But you'd have Durant at the four now.
Durant? Durant, I've seen
people
talk about Durant as like a two.
You can well back in the day when he first came into the league, he did play the two.
He played the three.
No, early, like his first year,
he was wild.
Yeah, his first year early on, he played the two.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. So we'll see. There is a little bit of basketball news happening. We'll talk more about like what free agency in general looks like. But Miles Turner, of the NBA Finals reaching Pacers.
Damn, did he leave?
He has signed a 4-year deal to go play with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks were starting to look like they were not going to do nothing for Giannis, and maybe that would make him ask out.
Mm.
I do feel like the Miles Turner is like, hey, big fella, don't worry about it. We got something for
we
you.
We got something
don't,
for you.
We're going
to
do
We're trying
things.
To do something, man.
Don't go
don't
nowhere.
Leave.
Well, I mean, they lost Brook Lopez, leave. So but then the next day they get Miles Turner.
Younger facsimile. He's not necessarily as good as a shot blocker as Brook Lopez is, but
not quite as good.
Younger,
or at least not Brook in his prime.
And
I should
definitely,
say.
Definitely a similar, if not better, shooter. So
yeah.
we'll talk more about hoop as we continue to go in the loop right here on a Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about these Astros who start on the road tonight in Colorado. Are you ready to take the Astros over the field yet? Yeah, man, they've been that good. Let's talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Atitula. You got Chris Partee in for John Lopez.
Yep. Yeah.
The ad-libs are hilarious to me. Figgy Fig, always hanging, holding it down for you as always. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. You guys are utilizing it. Y'all are on it, man. Like,
They really are.
Our
big time on
our, it. Our listeners, our audience, y'all are on it, and y'all are very much in on NBA free agency, it seems like. Oh, all you got to do is bring in KD and have a number two record in the West, and everybody's like, we are tapped into the NBA, baby. Did you know that Damian Lillard got waived? Thank you, friend. Yeah, we now know that Damian Lillard stretch waved.
And that just happened minutes ago.
Yeah, literally
just happened.
Yeah, they said that. So
we are officially a basketball station now, man.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Whoever thought that would happen? Reggie raises his hand.
It's always fun to talk hoop. We'll talk more hoop, especially as, look, the Rockets weren't the only one moving and shaking, as obviously the Milwaukee Bucks are trying to make some moves in order to get their figure out a way to contend to some degree, as they're making some shocking moves, at least in my estimation.
I was actually watching the ESPN special yesterday, the draft coverage special.
Yeah,
okay.
I was tapped into it, man. I was mad they went off. They went off and went into ESPN 30 for 30. I'm like,
about skating?
Come on, man.
That was quite the
switch.
I'm
like, give us like two more hours of this.
Oh, so you was really into it.
I was into it, yeah.
I'm going to watch. People going to start listening and be like, oh, come on, Figgy, give us two more hours of radio. You're going to be like, no, I'm going home. So, we'll talk more about some of the moves that are happening in the NBA early on. It already seems like teams are making pretty clear signs of what they're doing. And
yeah.
So I'm kind of interested in which teams are already starting to interest you and maybe even scare you in the league. But before we get there,
yes,
let's talk about these Astros. They had the single best record in the in MLB, in Major League Baseball, in the month of June.
Yeah.
It's the first of the month.
Yes, today is the first.
I gotta.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so you didn't pay the rent yet, huh?
No, I don't pay until
So you wait until.
I'm not like you that pays early to get out of my bank. No, you don't get it on the first.
Early. Sometimes I'll pay up to like 2 weeks early. I just want to get it done. Get it out of the way so I don't end up getting busy and forget. Man.
I'm not giving y'all that money. That money stays in my account until I have.
They're going to get it eventually anyway, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to hold on to it.
Get it as soon as possible.
I'm going to hold on to it.
Figgy, am I tripping or what?
Yeah.
Nah.
Because it will burn a hole in my pocket.
Yes. Just give them the money.
See,
you know you owe it. It's going to have to go anyway.
Yeah, but just in case, you never know what can happen. Like Kyle Shanahan said, we might not be alive tomorrow, and I want that money in my back if we're not here. I know.
You going to take it with you, huh?
I'm going to find a way, or I'm going to try, and I can't even try if it's over there. You know, it's got to be over here. Anyways, I know that I'm unserious, but let's get serious with this. Like, it does feel like an unserious question to ask. Would you take the Astros over the field? Are you at this point? But we've talked about it. The Astros just continually defying what feels reasonable with all of the injuries that they've sustained, all the ways in which they've had to try and maneuver and shake, and they're still winning baseball games at a high regard. I just told you they had the best record in the month of June as we get halfway through the season. Are you leaning into like the boogeyman effect of this? Are you leaning into the ways in which they just kind of know how to win? And are you willing to take the Astros versus the field in some ways?
Man, so what's today? July 1st? Oh, man.
I
know, right? I just had to, yeah.
Don't send me, that back. Don't send me down the rent spiral again.
It's the first of the month.
Wake up. We should have jumped, put that in somewhere, but you know.
Okay. It's still the first of the month all the way through the show.
All the way through the show.
I anticipate some Bone Thugs.
It might be coming up, huh?
Possibly. Yeah.
All right. I'm not there quite yet. I want to go there, but I just kind of feel like I'm almost waiting on the other shoe to drop or the other foot to drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they've played so well with all the adversity. You have to ask yourself the question, can they really do this all season or for the most of the season, 3/4 of the season? We're halfway through the season already,
yeah.
And they're still dealing with all this adversity, injuries, and primarily injuries. So you really have to ask yourself, can they really do this for half or maybe up to 3/4 of the season, missing a lot of really, really good talent? I don't know. So I'm not quite ready to go there yet. But if they can get some guys back and, you know, get through the next quarter of the season and still be pretty much in the same place, if not better, then, yeah, I'll be ready to go there by then. But right now, I'm just not going to jump there just yet.
I'm getting closer than I imagined myself to be. Because you talk about...
So you've talked yourself into it.
Quite possibly. But, I mean, it's not like I was trying to talk myself into it. I've been, you know, looking at this Astros team, and you talk about waiting for the other shoe to drop. Myself and Lopez have been doing this time and time again, where it's like, well, you can't keep, you know...
It's hard not to, though.
You can't keep doing this without, you know, the offensive guys, and, oh, man, here you lose another starting pitcher, and, oh, here you lose another starting pitcher. How far can you go with these, and I say this again lovingly, these quad A starters that you have? You know, is this going to put too much tax on the bullpen? Is the bullpen going to buckle? And the answer all the way around is we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep making it. No, we are not going to buckle under pressure. And there's a lot of testament, or it's a lot of testament to what Joe Espada has been able to do as a manager with the selections and the decisions that he's able to make time and time again. The ways in which these batters are, you know, giving you timely hitting. The way that they are working pitchers, like we saw Isak Paredes do this weekend. Yeah. They're just managing to make this happen. There is an institutional knowledge that exists there on how to win, as Joe Espada talked about, that obviously filters down through him and Altuve. And it's getting to a point where, I'm believing that this Astros team continues to do this. Like, again, this isn't just you are in a weak division, because you are, but you're building up a crazy lead, and you're looking around and you're beating good teams. You're not losing series. Your record is up amongst the best in the AL. Yeah. And in addition to it, Sarah Langs, who does great things on baseball from MLB.com, wrote about what it means to be in first place entering July, which, of course, we have now done.
Yeah.
And since 1996, which I think you would probably agree, that's a pretty good sample that we're talking
about. That's a very good sample size right there.
Since 1996, which was the first season that we had at least one wild card, 109 of the 168 eventual division champions held at least a share of the lead entering July 1st. 65% of the winners. I'm in a place where I look around and I go, yeah, man, this. I don't think that they're getting caught this year. Because typically that's the way that it goes.
In the division, probably not.
And none of these teams in the division seem like they have anything worth. I mean, the Rangers have good pitching. The offense has been atrocious. I mean, the Mariners, they're doing the Mariner thing again, where
unfortunately
we start the year and we go, oh, is that? Don't say nothing. Well, the Mariners start the season and they go, oh, the Mariners are kind of the Cowboys in a way. This is the year that we do it. And then it's like, actually, no, it's not. So you have that, right? I mean, at least. You know, current division winners each has had at least the share of the lead, right? You go your way through this.
Yeah.
And I think they'll win the division. I think they give themselves a better chance, especially with the pitching. Eventually, you have to have some level of healthy pitching with the number of guys that you have. And maybe I need to knock on wood because this is some level of jinx. With the number of guys that you have on IL, that at least some of them come back. Hunter Brown has been phenomenal. He is a Cy Young. If he's not a front runner, I know Tarik Skubal's out there doing his damn thing.
But he's up there.
He's up there,
he's
right?
As up
a
there.
Different. Framber Valdez continues to do what Framber does, and it feels like we've taken away the shakiness of are we getting good or are we getting like that's two incredible starters. Your team has just consistently had good timely hitting, and your manager seems to have a steady hand. Like I feel like if you go into any postseason, I feel confident about those makeups for a team. On top of it being this is a championship organization, I feel good about this team over the field.
Is there a matchup that you look at right now in the American League that you don't like in the playoffs for the Astros?
I mean, just on some boogeyman stuff, the Tigers again. Okay. But
yeah, like, I was thinking the Tigers. Yeah. AJ Hinch. I was just kind of I was kind of thinking about. But I'm still not like scared of them.
No.
Yeah.
They're not scary.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the best team in the league right now, but they're not. The scariest best team in the league.
So they're not the real boogeyman.
Nah.
And I mean, they score a lot of runs. Don't get me wrong. Like, they legitimately have, I think they are the second best or second most runs scored of all the AL teams. I think that's where they are right now. So, like, this is a good offense, but then I put any offense up against the pitchers that this team, this Astros, like, I think that's a strength on strength that I feel good about if we're talking about the Tigers or what have you.
Usually, great pitching is going to come out on top. Over even great hitting. Usually that great pitching is going to win out.
Postseason baseball?
Postseason, yeah. More often than not, that great pitching is going to win out. So if you got two phenomenal starters like that, like the Astros do, you're in a good spot.
And a great point comes in from the 832 on the text line. In addition to that, that's just with what they're working with right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that there's going to be some additions at the trade deadline because this is a team that wants to continue to win, and they know that, in theory, they're on the backside of that window.
Yeah.
I think they're doing what's necessary in order to make sure this team is well situated. I think I talked myself in this segment into a place where...
So you're taking the Astros over the field is what you're saying.
It feels like a stupid thing to say. Figgy? I understand it. I hear myself too, but I'm in this place.
Yeah, I'm still a little worried, man. Yeah, just the injury bug, man. It seems like every time we get super excited, somebody else get. I'm just wondering how long can this hold up?
This whole weekend with Peña, it takes the air out of your sails, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know that, obviously, next man up, you got to keep playing. They'll probably keep winning what you got.
Don't worry, here come Bryce Matthews. You're good.
Yeah.
That's a joke, by the way. There's no actual reporting that Bryce Matthews.
Yeah, if you just told me put a pause on the injuries and that's it, and then you could get some players coming back and all that stuff, I'd be down with Reggie. I'd be in there with Reggie, but
I would too.
I guess the back of my mind, I'm just nervous that something else might happen.
All right, questions I will ask you: do you think Yordan Alvarez makes it back before the end of the baseball season, the regular season?
Yes.
Wow, I would hope so.
Yes. But that was Astros response. You're like, maybe.
Yeah. I'm like, he better make it back if it's just a hand.
Do you think that Jeremy Peña makes it back before the end of the season?
I think so. Before the end of the season.
My point being, like, I don't think that, and of course, yes, you still want to make sure that you see it out to the end of the season,
course,
right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that they're getting caught in the AL West, and if that's the case, I just need to make sure that I'm the best version of the Astros for the postseason, and I think that you can be the best version of the Astros for the postseason. And as was very nicely said on the text line,
very nicely.
we beaten the folks with the Space Cowboys at this point. So what happens when the Astros show up? You know what I mean? I think
that's true.
That's where my mindset is.
Good point there.
Yeah, shout out to the 832. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 6. I can't believe I got myself to the point where I'm like, yeah, no, Astros are bust. It's cool. It's all good. But yeah, it is better to have injuries now. And later in the season. All right, coming up next, let's get into our question of the day this Tuesday, inspired by a little bit of fender bender for your boy. What is your most memorable wait? A time where you had to spend a lot of time, maybe for a weird reason, a stupid reason, whatever. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next. No, Mr. Big Voice Man, it's Reginald Atatula with Chris Partee sitting in for John Lopez, who is on vacation this week. Figgy Fig, not on vacation, not yet at least.
Not anytime soon.
Really?
Yeah.
You might have to take a vacation off just to mow your lawn at some point. I know that'd be taking a while.
Yeah, I might spend a couple days doing
that. I got to let you live on that. I don't know why I keep bringing that up.
No luck on the robot mower, right?
Yeah, oh, no, that's out of the
question. That's out of the window now?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you could spare $500 for a mower.
But that's the cheapest one they have, though.
I don't know how good that is.
Yeah.
So the other ones they got was like, what?
$1,200 or something, you see,
yeah,
right?
$1,200, $2,200.
Actually, don't spend $500 on a mower. Go ahead and save that up for Thursday when myself and Ron do the radiothon. Just go ahead and, when we pass the hat around, just go ahead and drop the hat.
I see what you did there.
Right, you see that?
Because we'll take the kind that jingles, but we prefer the kind that folds. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're looking for to help.
Also, we have a Cash App. You could cash
out. All right, okay. Okay. All right. There actually is a text line.
Cash App, Zelle, whatever you got.
There is a text line that we will have for donations, but we'll talk about that on Thursday. 6 to 6, man. Anyways, that's not what we're doing here. We're doing the question of the day. What's your most memorable wait? 713-572-4610. Because yesterday, after work, I went around doing some errands or what have you, and I ended up, actually, I said errands. I'm going to be honest. I went to go get some candles.
Okay.
I love me some candles.
And you?
They had a sale, and I was like, let me go get some candles.
Oh, did they have a sale? I bet.
Buddy.
Oh, man.
Like $10 candles, brother.
Oh, man.
Where you find them at?
I mean, they're
the only place. They don't want to give out the...
No, it's not that. It's just
the only place to do it, right?
They're not advertisers. I'm not... I mean, they...
I got you. I got you. You can tell me off here.
Yeah, I got you.
You can tell me off here.
I got you for sure. But... so I went, got my candles, and I was leaving the Galleria trying to head home because I needed to rewatch week 5 at Buffalo, which I'll talk about
for today.
Yeah, for today and my 2024 rewatch. So I was, you know, turning out, and I see on the opposite side, and I guess maybe I shouldn't do the whole thing because, you know, there's active, not legal, but active insurance claims or what have you.
There's an investigation going on.
Yeah. So there's a truck that comes and, you know, turns on to Westheimer as I'm turning on to Westheimer. Except they seem to want to get, they're in the middle, I'm in the right lane, and then they want to get into a driveway on the other side, and they decide, bump this car, I can get through.
Mm.
And so it ended up in a little bit of a collision. Everybody's fine, you know, just, you know.
How's the car?
Car drives.
Okay.
It's
going to need work.
Right? Yeah, okay.
So it'd be like that sometimes. But, you know, we pull over, we exchange information. However, I got damage on the front of my car.
Yeah.
He got damage on the back of his car. Insurance companies might do the very basic of...
Without the whole story...
This is your fault. Exactly. Without the whole
story... Without context...
I might be in a lurch.
You,
right?
You look like you're at fault.
But I'm like...
But you're not.
I don't believe that I am. So I was like, you know what I need? Police report, right? I need somebody, an authority that can get the story at least, so that it's not just my word versus your word.
Exactly.
We got story, right? So we call HPD, and here's the problem. In Houston, if it's not bleeding, if ain't nobody hurt, if you're not blocking the roadway, it's hard to get a police officer out there. Except I knew the circumstances. I'm not trying to get my insurance rates jumping up for no reason. Yeah. So I'm like, I need this police report. So I'm going to wait. And wait I did. Through rain. I'm literally right outside the gallery. I'm right in front of the Cheesecake Factory. I'm seeing
people walking,
folks walking by. It's people fancy. I mean, it's a Monday night, so it's not as bad as it could be, but there's people. It's people out here with their lady, you know what I mean, looking nice. It's people with the perfume on. I can smell walking back and forth. It's some people that's just at the Galleria. But I'm just standing out here in the rain waiting for a police officer that, mind you, never showed up. And I was like, this is a miserable wait. This is a miserable wait.
It sounds like it.
Because my phone was also dying.
Oh, my.
Like, just miserable in all facets.
So just all around bad.
I am raw dogging this wait. I am just standing here looking at the street. And so that got me thinking, what are your most memorable waits? Because I will be remembering that wait for a very long, especially if these insurance insurance claim don't go the way I want to. I'm going to be real hot.
I'm hoping they don't try to play you here, dog. I'm really hoping they don't.
It be like that sometimes, but I really hope not.
But
really
you know the insurance, man, when they go up, they go up.
Yeah, they're going to hit you with that $500 deductible.
Man.
Yep.
Goodness gracious. Oh, man. Did you have any witnesses, though? I just went on that real quick.
Thankfully, there was a witness. Hopefully that helped.
So that might, and you got their information, I'm sure. So that might help you.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
That might help.
I was going to say I'll keep you informed, but I don't know if that's something I should do. Whatever. Whatever happens in the future. More importantly, I'm interested in.
Hopefully it works out.
Do you guys have, again, 713-572-4610, do you guys have your memorable waits? And yes, I see you 713 saying candles. Did you take a bath and let Calgon take you away too?
Calgon, take me away.
What I will tell you is, you know who really likes the candles as well? The ladies. Anyways.
That's true.
Anyways.
A little too much sometimes.
Hey, the house going to be smelling all right though, man. The
house going to be smelling all right.
That's right.
But candles ain't cheap, dog.
Unless you
find a sale.
Yeah.
That ain't every day though.
It'd be about $25 each.
Sometimes more than that. Yankee candles and some of them other ones, man. Hey, okay, so I have a memorable wait, more so because I don't like waiting, and I was very irritated.
Mm-hmm.
So 2014, me and a group of friends, we went to WrestleMania 30 down in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. And New Orleans is such an interesting host city, because they host things well, but it's still a pretty small city.
Yeah, so you can imagine how packed it was.
Yeah,
for any big event like that in a city like, well, any city, but a city like New Orleans, any big event, so... We go to, I forget the name of the restaurant. It's been, you know, obviously over a decade now. And I didn't realize how long the wait was going to be.
Oh, for food.
For food,
oh,
yeah, food.
No.
Now, I'm fine with, okay, an hour, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, I'm fine.
I am as well.
I'm fine with that. Once you start creeping up into, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours, this wait was 3 hours, dog. Ugh. 3 hours.
Was it a fancy place?
It was a nice spot.
Okay.
The food was good, but you should have seen. Now, you see what my shirt says, right?
Hangry.
Yes, because I get hangry.
Okay.
I get irritated and angry if I don't eat at a specific time. So I'm in line waiting, and I'm just getting more irritated and more irritated. And my boys, they can see. They're like, yeah, Party, he not happy right now. I was like, hey, y'all, never again. Never again will I go anywhere with you and wait more than an hour to eat. So when they... At this time, I was living in Austin. So when they came to visit me in Austin, you know, maybe 8 months later, they wanted to go to, I think it was Franklin's Barbecue, which is...
That is a world-renowned barbecue spot, and it's not like they are maximized for efficiency.
They are not.
Uh-huh.
If you ever been there, or if you don't know, it's a very small place, so capacity is not very much. So we get there, the line is wrapped around, and it's going outside. And I'm like, once we had two cars, we had that many people. I pulled up, I told him, like, hey, if y'all want to go eat there, go ahead. I'm not doing this again. Yeah. I'm not doing it. I'll see y'all later.
I will not be there.
Whoever's in my car, we're going to go somewhere else. So we ended up just ordering it another day, and my buddy went and picked it up, and we ate somewhere else that day because I was not waiting another 3 hours in line to eat food.
I think that is 100% fair.
I just wasn't going to do it. Like, I'm not doing it.
I'm actually good with the wait to some degree. 3 hours is a lot.
I don't care what it is. Jesus could be making that food.
Wow.
I'm not waiting. No,
you're
no.
You're not waiting for Jesus?
I'm not waiting. Not for his food. Not for 3 hours. No. I'm not doing it. Sorry.
That's wild.
I'm sorry.
Some waits that are... Y'all have some great wait stories in here on the text line. From the 832 said... I will keep it anonymous, although I did say you're 832, so I don't know.
That could be anybody.
That's the whole point of it, right? Waiting for a vasectomy.
Okay.
You got your stuff all taped up, laying there, waiting for the doc to walk in. Took like 15 minutes before the procedure could start. Yeah, I imagine that that's just a very vulnerable place.
It sounds vulnerable.
You just... Your manhood out here with the air on it, but they not actively doing anything. Just like, please.
You're just hanging out.
Cover me up. From the 281, easy one, birth of my kids. Oh, was it a long labor or was it just like, I need this to happen?
All of it.
Fair enough. Some other, this 832, waiting in line for gas after Hurricane Ike.
Oh, I'm sure that was miserable. Dude, I'm sure that was miserable.
Yes. This is going to sound bad. I apologize. Does it make it any better if you're like, I ain't got no choice? Because I thought that was one of the things for me last night where I was just like, I could just leave. Because like I could do this, but I waited thinking I really need this thing that didn't get.
Thinking someone would come eventually, right. Like, and they did not.
Like when we were talking about that yesterday where like if you waiting in line and you wait in line and then you ultimately get to the end of the line and they ain't got no more.
Yeah.
Like, does it make it any better if you're like, I have no choice but to wait? Or is it worse if you're like, I could have gone home? I chose to waste these 2-3 hours.
I think it make it worse when you sitting there and you like, man, do I really need this
police
report?
Do I have
report?
To be here again?
Yeah, so now at that point, you 2 hours in. So you be like, I might as well wait since I waited all this time.
It's funny how we talk ourselves into things. It's like, okay, I've already waited an hour and a half.
Pot committed.
What's 30 more minutes?
We're pot committed. Which you're never pot committed, to be completely honest. And I say that. I know that academically. I don't act on it, as evidenced by being outside for 2 hours in the rain yesterday. Some other ones that have come in. Most memorable weight was 211 pounds. It's the most I ever weighed. Oh, a different way of looking at it.
That's crazy. Hey, when you first brought this up to me, that's what I thought. I was like, most memorable weight. I'm like, all right. 205 pounds, I guess. I don't know. I mean, hey.
This is a really good one from the 346. Try sitting in the doctor's office waiting for the test results after drinking too much and sleeping with the wrong woman and praying to God that she still loves you. Yeah, I imagine that's a tough one. Like, oh, there are plenty of people at the clinic getting that test. What test? That test.
Yeah.
Actually, multiple tests.
Yeah.
It ain't just one.
Yeah.
They got a couple you need to check with.
Yeah.
Check off.
832, 3 hours for a scheduled oil change at a car dealership. Wife was stuck there with a newborn baby 25 years ago, but I'll never forget. Yeah, you shouldn't. 3 hours for a schedule. Like,
that is
I didn't
crazy.
Just pull up on you.
Yeah.
I scheduled this.
You know what?
Why is this taking
I want to know how much is that oil change at that point.
Better be free. Y'all better comp this. Put this on the house.
It was
3 hours?
It was at the dealership, so it wasn't cheap. It was at
That's
the dealership.
Crazy.
It was at the dealership. It wasn't cheap.
I can't. And then this is a great one as well from the 936. June 1994, canceled flight led to a 6-hour layover at Memphis Airport. Memorable because OJ's white Bronco chase scene was unfolding on every TV. Which, yeah, I imagine that takes a little bit of the edge off. At least you had some entertainment. Anytime that you got the canceled flight where you have and you don't you're stuck there again, Figgy, in that same way where you're just like, can I go anywhere? What's happening? Yeah.
Am I wasting my time now? Right. Or
should I just leave? Should I just book another one? Or can I
should
wait
I get a
out?
Hotel?
Should I just thug it out or what? You know?
And it's you never know ahead. They're never just like, here, it's going to be 5 hours. It's like,
nope.
We'll be 45. Give us 45 minutes. And then that 45, give us another 30. Give us another hour. And then all of a sudden you're like, I've been here all day long. Why are we not flying yet?
Why am I not
just
in the area?
Just be honest with me. Damn.
Yeah, man. Unofficial Army slogan, hurry up and wait. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just being in the service. Someone said, waiting for those discharge papers, and I can only imagine.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you getting involved on the question of the day. What's your most memorable wait? And I appreciate all the people that had good wishes about me and my particular fender bender. I am fine, just for anybody that actually cared. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where it looks like TJ Watt, could he be traded? And also, what's happening with all these second round picks not getting signed yet? Let's talk about that next.